Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Title of our sermon today is called Signs of the Times. Now, I read something earlier, which is Signs of the Times. Someone has well said that if something is politically correct, it's probably anti-Bible. But if you would, let's stand together. 1 Timothy, that's 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed notice to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for today. Bless these words, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Verse 1, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We find in chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers or many lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Point number one, there'll be a departure from the faith. Jesus asked the question found in Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We find that people are drifting further and further afield. And they're drifting from the teachings of the Word of God. And one of the reasons is they don't want to live according to the teachings of God's Word. Now, this woman that we read of earlier that said that Jesus was a bigot, the fact of the matter, he's not a bigot, she's immoral. And she doesn't want to live a moral life. She wants to justify her immorality by calling Jesus a bigot. Well, the fact of the matter is, if she doesn't get her heart right with God, and if she doesn't learn that Jesus Christ is God and is Lord, she's going to spend all eternity in hell, and she'll remember her idiotic post. The people are drifting from the faith, and there are teachers who are leading them. Our second thought is there are those who are disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Not only will men be lovers of their own selves and covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers in the last days, but they'll be disobedient to parents. How sad it is that many parents have to bribe their children to behave. You've been in Walmart or, well, the former Kmart or some store, and some child is going ballistic and demanding this or that and screaming and crying. And instead of making the child know that they're not in charge, but the parent is in charge, they give in. So then the next time the child wants something, what do? They just behave as bad as they were the last time. And so we live in a society that is departing from the faith in those who are disobedient to parents. And may I say this, if you do not train your child to be obedient to you, how do you expect them to be obedient to their teachers or to their employers or to the police? The fact of the matter is we live in a society where we keep giving excuses for the bad behavior of children. Number three, we find those who are despisers of those that are good. Notice in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Incontinent means ungoverned, uncontrolled, and unrestrained. A perfect example of our society today. Ungoverned, uncontrolled, and unrestrained. But notice it also says, fierce despisers of those that are good. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Despisers of those that are good. Folks, I'm glad for those who are good. Those that behave, those that act properly in their lives. But be sure of this, that when you do that which is right, the guilty will try to make you guilty. They will try to blame you for their bad behavior. We live in a society that blames everyone else for their faults. Number four, devotion to pleasure. Notice in verse 4, it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than what? Lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of Sunday activities that keep them out of the house of God. They would rather spend time with unbelievers than with believers. I've never understood that. I like spending time with believers. I like spending time with those that love the Lord and want to be in His house reading the Word of God. To me, that's a good thing. And yet we find that there are those who would much rather spend time with the lost, that those who are lovers of Sunday activities. And we find in the last days there'll be those who would rather have the so-called pleasures of life, and they don't love the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm not going to go any further with the question. I'm just simply going to ask, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? When it means to love someone, that means you're willing to give to them, spend time with them, sacrifice for them, that they are special to you, and you will defend them. So I ask the question, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give him the place he deserves? Today we live in a society that says, well, the church, if nothing else. Now, you understand that I'm a Baptist preacher, right? Yes? So I have the opinion that church is special, right? But am I not just like you? A member of the Covenant Baptist Church just like you? I love Jesus Christ. Are you to love Jesus Christ? Well, four or five of you are. The fact of the matter is, if you don't love the Lord, you're going to love someone else. Yes? One of the songs that we sing in Vacation Bible School is about loving the Lord. And it says, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. Well, who's the one that gives us salvation? We can't earn our salvation. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not good enough. It doesn't matter that you live in America. It doesn't matter what job you have. You're not going to heaven because of who you are. You can go to heaven because of who he is. And he is our Savior. He is the Savior of the world. Amen. And we ought to love the Lord more than the pleasures of this world. Amen. Page 2. Who used to say that, page 2? Paul Harvey. I used to like to hear Paul Harvey. Number 5, evil men and seducers shall wax worse. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers are running wild in our society today, and we give them free rein, and we say they have freedom of speech. The fact of the matter is we ought to turn our backs on them. Promoting the lewdness in our society. First Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That says the love of money. It doesn't say that money is. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle. And we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to remain strong for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Because long after we're gone, there's going to be those who are following after us, and we can only hope that they will remain faithful to the Word of God. Let me read to you from the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, I'll begin reading at verse 3. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I continue reading in verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, in whose things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, who wanted to worship his way, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward or the desire for money, and perish in the gainsaying of Kor, or Korah from the Old Testament, who desired power. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse. Our sixth thought is denying godliness. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. No, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Give me a moment to correct my notes. Can I blame the computer for this? Thank you very much. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. May I say this, that religion abounds in the United States of America. We must be careful, because not everything that uses the word God is godly. Because there are many gods in our society, but there is only one true God. Amen. Genesis 6:5 says, And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Humanism, that is anti-God, reigns in our society today. It brings with it its sister, evolution. You know, it's funny that evolution is never questioned. But the fact of the matter is, if you study creation from a biblical point of view, and if you look at the creation of humans, you would realize it is impossible to ever evolved. I was having my eyes examined the other day. I have been told I don't need my glasses anymore except to read, because I'm getting cataracts. And it's pushing pressure on my eyeballs to making it so I can see better. In fact, Paul Wutke, you look better in the back row without my glasses than with my glasses. But as I was talking to, as my optometrist was talking to me, he said, now this is the eyeball, because he was looking at it, and it was really neat. I mean, it's really cool. And he was talking about the millions of nerve-type things that are in your eyeball. Millions. Oh, that just happened? I mean, that just happened. How stupid do we look? But see, we've been taught evolution as a fact, and the fact is evolution, if it is given full scientific, scientific study, it'd be disproved very quickly. But why do we have evolution? Because we don't want to believe there's a God. So we have to have another form, or another reason that we got here. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Our Creator God created us, and we are amazing. We are amazing. Do you ever think about the stomach? Do you ever think about the fact that the stuff in the stomach is eaten, taken care of? But why is it the stomach? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And you don't want what's in the stomach to come back up your throat? Isn't that a bad thing? I mean, yuck. And that just happened. You say, well, it took billions of years. I don't care if you gave it 50 billion years. It would never happen. It wouldn't happen. But also there's the denying of the need of salvation and the Savior himself. Quickly, I mean quickly, because that clock says I have 2 minutes. Number 7, Jesus will be outside the church wanting in. There are 7 churches in the book of Revelation. They were 7 literal churches that John was writing to. 7 churches. They represent 7 churches that are in existence in our society today. Good churches, lukewarm churches, cold churches. But they also represent, some believe, 7 periods of church history. From the very beginning when the disciples took the gospel out to the world to where we are today, and many believe that we are in the period of the Laodicean church, the last church, the church in which is lukewarm. And the Bible tells us that this church says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He then tells this church to repent in verse 19 of Revelation 3. And then he says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That Jesus Christ is wanting to come into the church. But too many of today's churches say we must be politically correct. No, we need to be biblically correct. We need to follow the Word of God and the teachings of the Word of God. He needs to be a welcome guest. And in the church where he is a welcome guest, we preach and teach that Jesus Christ is our salvation. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In the last day, we'll find that Christ is not even welcome in too many churches. Shall we stand together? There's no doubt that we are in the last days. And I ask you this question. What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Number 1, do you know him as your personal Savior? And if you do not, we would be glad to show you from the Word of God what you must do to know that you can have eternal life. And if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you serving him as your Lord and King? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move. We ask that hearts could be touched. Lord, we pray that you are indeed even with us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.